Well, we started a series last week on the Holy Spirit. Do you know this morning that the greatest privilege that we have as Christians is to carry the Spirit of God in our lives? His presence, yeah, go ahead, give him a praise. To carry the presence of the Lord. Now, what that means to me is it doesn't only apply to Sunday mornings. Did you know that you can take the presence of your Heavenly Father with you when you go to work, when you go back to school, when you go to home, and when you interact with your wife and your husband and your children? Did you know that God's presence can be with you in your home? I think it's a good idea that we invite Him in, don't you? Because with His presence, the Bible says, with the Spirit of the Lord, with His presence, there is liberty, freedom. We could say it this way as well. Jesus said it this way. He said, I have come to give you life and life to the full. How many would say, Pastor Bill, I'm living a full life? I'm living a full life. Because of Jesus being in me. Now, those of you who maybe weren't able to raise your hand, did you know that this morning, that is Father's heart and desire for us, is that we live a fullness of life. Now, does that mean we're not going to have trials? Does that mean we're going to go through and everything is going to be just the way we'd hoped it ever be? No, in fact, Jesus also said, in this world, you will have a few hard times. Didn't He say that? Uh-oh, you're about ready to vote me out right now. He's changing the Bible. Okay. Jesus said, in this life you will have many trials, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. We have the overcomer living within us, and He wants us to live lives of overcoming. Somebody say amen. So last week, as we started this series, we talked about the Holy Spirit being upon us. I won't preach that sermon again. And everybody said, yeah, that was your chance right there. There is, I believe, a difference, and it's not just semantics or language. There is the Spirit within us, but then there is also available to us the Spirit upon us. And there are various verses and various examples of that I could take us to. I won't for the sake of time, but we can see clearly in Scripture where there is a distinct, separate experience. We have at the point of salvation the Spirit coming within, but there is what we refer to as the baptism of the Holy Spirit who comes upon us in power. If you were here last week, I tried to preach it like my dad would. I just can't quite do it like he does. But that old Pentecostal power, all right? Jesus said that when the Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. And we talked last week about power, not only in the sense of explosive power, but also ability. God gives us ability to live life as He wants us to. Now, I want to take us to the letter of Galatians, chapter 5. If you have Bibles, turn with me there, or I'll have it on the screen behind me here. But in Galatians, chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in a place called Galatia. Paul is encouraging the believers. He's saying to them, you've asked Jesus in your heart. He's brought His freedom to your life. Now, stay free. Somebody say, stay free. Stay free. So Paul gives us encouragement throughout this letter of how we can stay free. Now, a challenge for this church was that they were at risk of giving up their freedom in Jesus in pursuit of trying to live according to the law. Do you know that it's really oppressive to try to live legalistically? Can anybody say amen to that? No matter how hard we try and how much effort we put towards it, we cannot do everything according to the letter of the law. The law shows us our need for a Savior. in what we can't accomplish for ourselves, we can receive Jesus as Savior, and we don't have to live according to a legalistic methodology. There are so many religions in the world. In fact, every religion of the world is based on a works-oriented approach. If I just try hard enough or work at it hard enough, maybe I'll get to heaven. But did you know that we can absolutely know for sure when we have Jesus come in our heart that we are going to heaven? How many are ready to go? Maybe right now. Lord, just, huh? Okay. Paul's saying to the believer, stay free. You are free. Now stay free. Guard your freedom. So in the fifth chapter of this letter to the church in Galatia, that's exactly how Paul starts. The first verse of that chapter says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, so stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Interesting language. Jesus said it this way, that those who sin become a slave to sin. I've said it so many times, I'll say it again because I truly believe it, that sin will always take us farther than we want to go. Have you experienced that? Sin will always take us farther. I have been throughout the years talking with so many people, and sometimes the thought and the belief can be, well, Bill, I'll just go so far with this, and I can handle it. I know my limits. I can go there. I can enjoy this, and I know it's wrong. I know I shouldn't be doing it, but I'm going to go, and I can just keep a handle on it. And unfortunately, I've seen it every time where sin takes us farther than we had wanted to go. It's the slavery, it's the nature, the essence of sin. It enslaves us. And there are so many today who are captivated, enslaved to some form of sin in life, in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our actions, in our relationships. We can become enslaved where we literally are compelled, forced, made to do something that we don't really want to do in ourselves. How many are with me? So I think what I'm going to share this morning is vitally important. I think it's the essence of the gospel message is that as we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, He brings His truth to our lives, which brings freedom. Freedom. Stand firm. And do not let yourselves be burdened again. Paul goes on to say, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you? Who kept you from obeying? This does not come from Father. You, my brothers, were called to be free. I'm in verse 13, Galatians 5. You were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Let me stop there for a moment. Do you know that there is a sinful nature fully alive within us that wants to have its own way? Oh, you bunch of heathens, you know it's in there, huh? I have it. You have it. It's a part of just reality. Paul says that this sinful nature is always at war with the spiritual nature. He even made comments about himself in Romans where he said, the thing I want to do, I don't do, and that which I want to do, I don't do. Can anybody relate to that? All of us at times. So he refers to this thought about, now we're called to be free and we're free in Jesus, but don't let this freedom in Jesus in some way lead you to fulfill what your sinful nature wants to do. It's in there. It's pulling at us every day. We have to make a choice every day if we're going to serve and follow Jesus. I'm going to continue to follow Him. Now in verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not satisfy the desires of this sinful nature. This concept now of living by the Spirit. To live by the Spirit, Paul says, in some way, as we do that, we will not fulfill those sinful desires. Would you agree with me that to be able to be pleasing to Jesus, we must obey his commands? Did he not say that? He said, if you love me, keep my commands. The Spirit of God helps us keep the commands of Jesus. As we learn to live with the Spirit's help, we can keep the commands of Jesus and be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Amen? So Paul says, live by the Spirit, you will not gratify or fulfill the desires. He says that the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other. Have you ever felt that you have been in conflict? Can anybody relate to that? Now, I'm not only talking or referring to external conflict with a person or some situation, but what I'm referring to and what Paul is talking about is an internal conflict, a conflict within your own soul, where you're at a tug of war internally, at war with yourself. He says that the Spirit and the sinful nature are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, Paul says it very plainly. He says, well, what are the acts? What, when we give in and when we live according to this sinful nature, what does it look like? Have you ever seen some evidence of someone living by a sinful nature? Can anybody say, yeah, Bill, I think I've seen that. All right. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. My goodness, what a list. Sounds kind of like work Monday morning. Not for me, because I work here. I hope it's not here. Okay, not my Monday morning, but maybe your Monday morning. Boy, we need to get a hold of Pastor Joel and make him straighten up. Monday morning should not be like this. Okay. Oh, yeah. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who, now he's talking to believers. He's talking to those who have put their faith in Jesus, but he's clearly saying that if we continue to live according to this sinful nature, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. But now, in stark contrast, Galatians 5:22, what does it look like to live by the Spirit? This is what we are working, what we are hoping and allowing the Spirit to control us. This will be the result. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Key verse here, verse 24. Those who belong to Jesus have crucified or have killed the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Now, Jessica, let's put our text. So then, after saying all of this, Paul says, since we live by the Spirit, and here's my thought for this morning, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I want to talk this morning for the next few hours about how to keep in step. How to keep in step. Pray with me this morning. Father, thank you. I pray that over the next few moments, God, that your words would be my words. I ask that your thoughts would be my thoughts. Father, help us to capture just a glimpse of what life can be. Your desire for life here and now on this earth. Yes, Father, we anticipate and we look forward to eternity with you. But while we're here, we can have a full life filled with love and joy and peace and kindness and patience and this evidence of the spiritual life. Father, help us to keep in step with the Spirit. Help us to know how to do that, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, one of my favorite memories of high school. How many can remember back to high school? Even Pastor Joseph, as old as he is, he can remember back to high school. My goodness. I like picking on you. You know that. Okay. One of my fondest favorite memories of high school was that for fifth grade, actually, obviously not just high school, but I started in fifth grade and went all the way through high school. I was in marching band. Just curious, anybody else, were you in marching band? I was a trumpet player from fifth grade all the way through senior year of high school, played trumpet and marched in the marching band. And so, Jessica, I think we may have a picture. There's a band. Now, I don't know how that happened. Of all things, how we're seeing the Ohio State University marching band, it just is a special anointing this morning, how that worked, huh? Oh, yeah, I grew up in Ohio, and I marched not in a band that big, but we love to watch the Ohio State marching band because if you've ever watched the beginning of an Ohio State game, the band marches out and they start spelling the word Ohio across the field. And then one of the tuba players gets the great privilege of marching out. I can't do it like they do, but they get out there and they dot the I. They stand over the I and they bow and everybody goes crazy and they cheer and they've spelled the word Ohio. And of course, then the football team comes out and just demolishes all of their opponents and wins a national championship. Somebody say amen. Amen. There you go. Some of you who cheer for Oregon, all I can say, it's the wrong O, all right? You got to get the right O in mind, the red O. Okay. You know, this concept that Paul is talking about keeping in step, when you look at that, what he is saying, let me find my notes here. To keep in step is to proceed in a row as a march of a soldier. Now, notice with me in this picture, they're obviously in rows. They're currently standing, it looks like, fairly still. Maybe the picture was taken while they're in mid-step. Maybe they're in the process of coming off the field. I'm not quite sure where they are in their motion. But what's evident to me is that they're keeping in step. And when I reflected back on my marching days, a couple of things come to mind. How did I keep in step? Have you ever seen a band with crooked lines? Drives me crazy. Especially as you're turning a corner, and if you're on the inside of the corner, you're taking steps like this. You're almost marching in place, where the person on the far outside is making the wide turn. They may be marching like this. Why? To be able to keep in step, to keep a straight line. Well, how we used to do that was, first of all, you had to be aware of the person in front of you. You had to watch in front. You had to be able to see if you were in alignment with the person in front, right? So as I'm marching and I'm playing and I'm thinking of my song and my notes and I'm all of that, I'm also have an awareness and I'm also seeing the person in front of me. The person behind me sees me, and on back, you can see down the row where each person is aligning themselves with the person in front. In addition to that, though, as you're marching and as you're having a forward focus, there is also a side-to-side awareness. So what we would do as we would march down the field, We would typically not look to the side, but you would see kind of out of the corner of your eye the people next to you, and you had a general awareness or a feel if you were in line with the person in front and alongside. Does that make sense? What made all of this work together right for us, and I think for Ohio State and for any band, was the sound of the drums. Right? All right, there you go. Some of these bands, those drummers, they really get into the beat and they get the rhythm. And you see some of these tuba players leaning and bowing. But it establishes a groove, a tempo, a rhythm. And everybody in that band senses the rhythm. And they start to put their feet up and down according to the rhythm established by the drum. So two vital aspects for them to be able to keep in step: what they see and what they hear. So let me bring it to a spiritual application. Where are your eyes? Where do you watch? And what are you listening for? I want to take just a few moments. And as we think about keeping in step, my first thought here is the person in front. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher or the perfecter of our faith." You see, one of the primary works of the Holy Spirit, He will always lead us, direct us to Jesus. Jesus has to be the one who's in front of us. Not your husband, not your wife, not your children, not your boss, not even your pastor. What happens when we get our eyes on a person? What happens if we look to a person for our source of strength, for our identity, for our value in life? What happens if we have our focus on an individual, and then when that individual disappoints us or lets us down? Yeah, we start to lose hope, and we start to lose a sense of where we are, and we start to grasp and struggle to stay in step because we've been looking in the wrong place. I have to say to us this morning that there was a time back in high school when I was marching in the band that there was a young lady sitting in the stands that I wanted to impress. And when the drums started I was looking a lot to her. And I have to say to us that it's not wrong to have a relationship, obviously, but when the relationship takes the place of Jesus, we get out of step. It's not the Father's desire. In fact, He said it very clearly. He said, "You shall have no other gods before me." Can a person be a god to us? Oh, absolutely. Can a job be a god? Can a car or a bank account or anything you can think of, anything can take the place of Jesus if we let it, if we let our eyes drift from Jesus and start seeing someone or something else. And all of a sudden, we start getting out of step. We start to have crooked lines in life because we're not looking to the right place, to the right one. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Now that's a good thought. Sometimes after I preach, I have this habit of I'll go home and I'll say, did I say that the way I wanted to? And did anybody get anything out of that? I sure hope so. So let me bring maybe a practical application to this thought. How can we keep our eyes on Jesus? I mean, isn't it easier to keep our eyes on a person? In the sense that, obviously, I can see and touch and hug, and I'm, but we're talking about Jesus. Now, Bill, how do I do that? So what helps me with that is a question. I'll ask myself as I'm walking things out, and I'll say that phrase so many times, we have to walk it out. I'll ask myself, where is Jesus at in this situation? Where is Jesus in this situation? Now, he said he would never leave us or forsake us. So do you know that every situation that you experience, every place that you march, every moment of your life, if he doesn't leave us or forsake us, that means he's there. We just have to look for him and see him. Where are you at, Jesus, in this situation? Have you ever had a situation where you felt like he wasn't there? Did you know that our emotions can be deceiving? Did you know that we can't always trust what we feel? We have to trust what he says. If he said he's always with us, we have to take him at his word. So I'll ask myself, now where is Jesus in this situation? You said you'd never leave me and you'd never forsake me. A second practical thought of this, and this is what works for me. If it can work for you, grab it and run with it. But on my phone and on my iPad, I have a Bible app. How many know what an app is? Not an ape, an app, all right? It's a free download. No cost. You can go on the app store, type in Bible, and you can get an audible Bible. If you don't like to read, you can have someone else read for you. Now, what I do, I try to do it at least an hour each day. I put my earbuds in. I punch my Bible app. I pull up the person reading the Bible. I'll find a quiet place to sit and let God's word soak into my soul. With my earbuds, my eyes usually are closed, and I'm just absorbing like a sponge. As the person is reading, I'm letting it just flow in and over me. David in Psalms, he said, Father, your word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against you. The Bible, having God's word in our hearts, gives us the strength to see where Jesus is and keep us in step. So I'll let that soak in. And like I said, I try to do it for maybe an hour each day and just spend quality time. Now, you may say, well, Bill, I don't have that much time. Well, what if you're in the car and you're driving down the road? Put your Bible app on, plug it in, and let it come through in your car as you're sitting in traffic or as you're driving from place to place. Find a way to let God's word get in. Now, here's a work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance, to our memory, what we have put in there. Now, watch how this works. As I'm marching down, and I'm wanting to stay in step with God, and I have taken time to put his word inside of me, as I get into a situation that I don't know what to do, I ask, first of all, Jesus, where are you in this situation? The Holy Spirit then stirs up a remembrance within me of a scripture that will apply to that situation. And typically for me, that's God's word for me at that moment for that time. Does that make sense? We have to put it in there first. Just like the band members, they have to practice. They have to play the notes. They have to march in practice. They have to drill over and over and over. They can't just go out there and have never practiced and have it work where they stay in step. I mean, it takes work and effort to be able to stay in step. So if I spend the time putting God's word within me, That gives the Holy Spirit substance to be able to draw from. Then as I'm asking God to help me to see how to step to stay pleasing to Him, the Holy Spirit starts to bring up within me the Word of God that speaks to my heart, and all of a sudden, I start to see where to take the next step. What do you think about that? Yeah. Keeping our eyes focused on Jesus, by having the word that He spoke, Jesus said about the Spirit in John chapter 14. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit coming. I just referred to it. He said, the Spirit will bring to your remembrance the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things, and He will remind you of everything that I have said. If I want to stay in step with Jesus and keep my eyes on Him, the Holy Spirit will help me as I put His words in me. Now that's watching forward. As I mentioned in the band, you have to watch ahead, but you have to have a side-to-side awareness. So that brings to my question. I think Paul actually helps us if we read a little farther. Galatians chapter 6. So Paul in chapter 5 is talking about staying free and living in the Spirit, living by the Spirit and keeping in step. Then he goes on, and I think as he goes on, this helps us to also know how to do this. He says, brothers, if someone, this is Galatians 6:1, if someone is caught in a sin, ensnared, trapped, their step has been caught like a bear trap that would come up around your ankle and hold you fast, ensnared, you're stepping. And all of a sudden, you've stepped in a place and tsh, you are ensnared right at that moment. He said, if we're caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Verse 2, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Jesus. This aspect of carrying each other's burdens is literally to come alongside and to stake yourself alongside a person like a farmer would be, say, for example, growing tomatoes. And by the way, we really love tomatoes. If any of you have extra ones, okay? Just throw that out there, all right? We like potatoes and corn, too, just while we're mentioning here. Okay, yeah. You got a tomato plant, and it's growing, and the fruit, the tomatoes are getting so big that they start to pull or weigh down the vines. And it actually will begin to put the vine at risk of breaking under the weight of the tomato. So what my mom does is she'll bring a stake and she'll put it in the ground right alongside the plant, and she'll take a little piece of string and tie the vine to the stake so that the stake can help support the weight of the tomato. It's an image of what Paul is talking about, carrying one another's burdens. It's coming alongside and helping in a time of need, helping to support and to strengthen in that moment, in that place. So who's alongside of you? It's this side-to-side awareness. In other words, the band is made up of many members. The band is not made up of one person. The band, for us to keep in step in rows, requires many people. Did you know that it's God's desire that you do not live in isolation? It's not Father's desire that we live in an isolated place. As if we put ourselves in a position of isolation, I put myself at risk of not staying in step with Father. We are designed in our nature. God has made us in such a way. As we are made in His image, He has formed us to want and need others. Community. Belonging. To be able to be alongside. Now, we have to be careful here. I don't think that Paul is saying that we come and we forever and a day carry somebody else. That's not healthy. If you're in a relationship where you're doing all the work and you're carrying all the weight and it's going on and on and on, the intent and the implication of this scripture is that the person who is caught in sin must need to make effort to get back in step, but they need help for a season of time. They need someone to come alongside of them and help encourage and support them to help them be able to move forward. But it's not intended for the helper to come alongside and be there forever. Does that make sense? Yeah. Husbands and wives, parents and children, aunts and uncles. There comes a point, so as we come alongside, the person who is caught must continue to surrender and stay in step with Jesus for themselves, but as they need help, we come alongside. My heart is just broken many times when I hear and I see people, and as they get into this place of isolation, and they're... Now, there are times that Jesus separated Himself, and He went to a place to be with His Heavenly Father. Sometimes He prayed all night long. Sometimes He would go up on a hillside by Himself with His Father, not alone, with Him. Sometimes He'd go down by the seaside. But Jesus lived in community. Jesus lived with people alongside of Him. Jesus didn't live His life in isolation. He is our perfect example. To be able to stay in step and to have a fullness of life, we must keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus and have a sensitivity and awareness of who is alongside of us. So as you're here this morning and as you're thinking, the basic question is, who do you have that you can lean on for a while? And as you lean on them, the hope and the desire of that is that they will help direct your eyes back to Jesus, to be able to see Him clearly, to know His word for your life and for your situation. If you have someone who is alongside of you and they're not pointing you to Jesus, be careful. Did you hear that? Sometimes we can have somebody alongside of us and they are pointing us in the opposite direction, every place but Jesus. That's someone that you don't want by you. That was a chance for you to say amen right there, okay? Yes. So evaluate who is beside. Now, who's in front? Who's alongside? But I personally like the drums. I think you could kind of tell that, huh? I like the rhythm. I like the groove. It helps me to know when I'm in step, right? It's important to keep my eyes on Jesus, no question. There are times when I need someone to come alongside of me and help me for a season of time to encourage and to keep me going. But over that music starts to get on the inside. I get up every morning and I just have music in me all day long. Over and over. I'll have a song that'll be going in my mind. And I don't even realize it until I stop and think about, well, there's a song going around up there. It's like the first thing when I get up and the last thing before I go to bed, there's always music turning on the inside of me. Oh, Jesus, help me, huh? It's been as long as I can remember. I can't remember a time where music has not been in me. All right. And especially the rhythm. I started playing Pots and Pans when I was 5 years old. Do I have any Pots and Pan players here? Do you play Pots? What do you mean? Well, I'd get in my mom's cabinets, and I'd pull out her Pots and Pans, and I would make myself a drum set in the middle of the kitchen floor, and I'd have a spoon in each hand, and I'd go, and my mom, bless her heart, she never told me to stop. Oh my goodness. Now there you go. I don't know how she could stand it, but I was one always tapping, pecking. You're always pecking, tapping. And it's because it's going up here and it's got to have a way to express itself. It's got to get out somehow, right? So these drummers, boy, and it's interesting why I didn't play drums in marching band as much as I love them, but I played trumpet, but I tuned in, everybody tuned in to the sound and the rhythm of the drum because it kept us, everybody, stepping together. So I thought about it this week. I said, well, what? How does that apply to what Paul is talking about, staying in the Spirit? And I thought about the verse in John 10 when Jesus said that he comes to give us fullness of life. You know, about every picture that I've ever seen that depicts Jesus makes him look sad and sorrowful and down. No joy. I don't know, have you ever seen pictures the artists have drawn of Jesus? Now, there was one picture that I have that's an exception to that. I don't know if it's the right picture or not, but I actually had a t-shirt in high school that I used to wear to my classes, and it was Jesus with his head back, filled with laughter and joy. Does anybody remember seeing a picture of Jesus depicted? It's the only one that I can remember. Every other picture that someone has drawn of Jesus has always been sad and sorrowful and down. But that one picture, I can still see it. I wish I had the t-shirt. I'm sure it wouldn't fit today. But that picture, I don't know if it's true. I don't know if we don't really know for sure what Jesus looked like. But that fascinated me, that picture of the just smiling and laughing and joy. It's interesting to me that the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you think that Jesus had strength? Do you think it's possible for us to have the joy of the Lord in the midst of pain and trial? Now, bear with me here. Let's come back here to what Paul said. We're talking this morning about staying in step with God's Spirit. And in verse 22, I want to make sure I'm remembering right. It says that, in my words, as we stay in step with the Spirit, we'll have joy. Joy. As I think about heaven, I think it's a joyful place. As I think about heaven, remember with me, when Jesus came to earth and the angel announced his arrival, he said, I come to you with good news of great joy. When I read in the book of Revelation, and by the way, I spent my hour yesterday listening to Revelation, washing over me, the whole letter, all 22 chapters. It took right about an hour. Just letting it pour in. Did you know, yes, there's a lot of things that happen on earth, and there's a lot of things that, all of this and that, but in heaven, there's joy. Around the throne, there's worship and celebration. There's rejoicing. There's angels and people, great multitudes of people rejoicing and celebrating Jesus. Could it be that the sound of heaven that keeps us in step is joy? Fruit of the Spirit is joy. I think Jesus lived his life here on earth with joy. Oh, yes. It says that he was a man acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53. Well, you say, Bill, that seems to be a contradiction. As I turn back here to Isaiah 53, the great prophecy of anticipation and the expectation of Jesus' arrival. The prophet Isaiah says, surely he took up our infirmities and he carried our sorrows. He was stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Boy, Bill, that doesn't sound very joyful to me. It sounds like that was a life of grief and sorrow and suffering. And yes, he bore our sins in his body, but I believe he had the joy of the Lord as his strength. It was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. How joyful are you? Do you have the joy of the Lord? Now, don't misunderstand me, because obviously joy doesn't always look like laughter and all of that, but there is a joy, there is a heavenly rhythm that can get on the inside. There is a groove that you can start to sense. Nobody else can see it, but you're aware of it. And as you hear the internal sound of heaven, it makes you happy. It brings a strength. It gives you a momentum to the step. It helps you in an inward way, know that as I step, now I don't know, I may not completely see where I'm stepping, but the sound of heaven as it resonates within my spirit, and as heaven, the celebration and the joy of heaven starts to sink into my soul, I have a confidence in the Spirit that as I step, he steps with me. That I'm not stepping alone, but I'm surrounded by his presence. And when heaven, Jesus said, pray it this way. He said, Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, let the sound of heaven come down and get a hold of my life so that as I take steps, I'm right in the groove of your Spirit. And I think it's a joyful groove. Yeah. Oh, I wish I had the time this morning to read the whole letter of Revelation to you that I listened to yesterday, but let me give you just a couple. Revelation 21, the Apostle John caught a glimpse of a heaven filled with rejoicing. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and first earth had passed away, and there was no longer a sea. There was no separation anymore. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. That's joy. and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no mourning, no crying, no pain, for the old is passed away. That's joyful to me. No tears, no sorrow, no more death, no more pain. When we're in his presence, we will be filled with the fullness of joy of his presence. One last one here, and I'll end with this. The Apostle James said it this way, James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy. Pure joy whenever you face trials, because you know that the testing of your faith develops rhythm. And it's a rhythm called perseverance. Consider it pure joy when you face trials, when things don't go, when the line starts getting crooked and you start to wonder, where am I stepping? I've lost my points of reference. I'm not seeing Jesus, and there doesn't seem to be anybody by me, and I'm not hearing that drum sound from heaven. Consider it pure joy, because as we keep stepping, we will develop perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I think there are two vital elements that we must develop in the day in which we live. There are two sticks for the drummer, a stick in each hand. One stick is perseverance. The other stick is patience. It takes great patience and great perseverance as we anticipate the return of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Bow your hearts with me, and praise team, join me back up here, would you please? Father, in Jesus' name, Father, help us to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus. Help him to be the one in front of us that we look to, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, help us to not live life in isolation, but God, help us to live in community with people beside us, believers, Christians who can come alongside in seasons where we need encouragement and an uplifting. God, help us to not become dependent on them, but help us to have them in our lives. And Father, I pray that while we're here on earth, that we would begin to hear the rhythm of heaven, that we would be able to start to sense and anticipate and to have an eternal perspective that would help us to continue to step, knowing that this day is going to pass and there will come a time when we join you in face-to-face fellowship. Father, help us to have perseverance. In the midst of trial and struggle, God, help us to not lose or let the joy of the Lord slip from us. But God, let it stir. Let it strengthen. Let the sound of the drum become stronger. Help us to become more aware of the rhythm of heaven as we walk through life. Help us to be faithful, God, in doing our part. Help us to put your word in our hearts and our minds so that the Spirit can bring that to our remembrance. So when we get into situations and we don't know where to look and what to do, your word is within us and you stir it up and you bring it to our minds and you speak to us. Bless you, oh God. Heads bowed. Anybody here say, Bill, I need the joy of the Lord in my life. Anybody just lift a hand and just say that. I need the joy of the Lord. I'm tired. There's been a lot of things happening. And Bill, I don't really have that fullness of joy that you're talking about. Hands up and back down. Many, many. Stand up all across. Would you please join me in standing? Many hands. My prayer for us this morning is that we would be saturated with the joy of heaven. Do not lose sight that the fact that this earth, what we experience in this life, is just temporary. But what we're going to experience in eternity is a joyful celebration with our Lord and Savior. Let us let heaven come down within us while we're here. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Bless, baptize, saturate, just fill, God, our hearts and our lives with the joy of heaven. Let the sound of heaven start to arise and resonate within us at a deep, deep place, so that even when we're in the midst of trials and difficult times, we can still be sustained by the joy of heaven that's available for us. Help us, Father, to not let it slip from us or to be distracted. Help us, Father, to just let that joy stabilize our feet. And as we march, keep us in alignment with your Spirit. I pray for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Take a moment, find someone, give a hug away, give a handshake away, greet one another. Hey, I have an idea. Share some joy. Let a smile come on your face and give somebody some joy this morning as you're making your way out. God bless you. Have a great day.